As far back as 1920, I conceived the idea and the possibility of when the causative agent of malignancy, so-called cancer, would be discovered and found and proven that it would be caused by a microorganism. Of course, reception that I received that far back from the medical profession and scientists was nil, but I kept at the work and I succeeded in eventually isolating a virus. First, I began sectioning tissues of every known type of malignancy. I sectioned over 20,000 of those, cut them down with a special microtome to very thin. Some of them were only a micron in thickness. I studied those under the microscope, and I eventually built my first high-powered microscope for the purpose of analyzing and checking those sections. The only result that I obtained over all those years was I succeeded in developing a very excellent technique of tissue preparation, but I never found an organism that I could say was the causative agent of malignancy. I went through with this, and then I developed other instruments of greater amplitude of magnification than the old original number one, which was very lacking in resolution beyond about 8,000 or 9,000 times. It was a lens microscope, and all of the air was excluded from the body and replaced with glycerin. The lenses were homogeneous with glycerin all the way through the whole thing, and the result was that in allowing the rays to separate and not cross in the interference band of reflection, such as they do in the ordinary standard tube of the regular research microscope, we held them apart, we separated them, and then brought them back together and picked them up again at a needle point. But, as I say, the resolution of this instrument beyond about anywhere from 9,000 to 10,000 times dropped off decidedly rapidly. We could go up on some occasions, on some preparations, up to 17,000 times, but we didn't consider the resolution anything out of the ordinary beyond about 8,000 or 9,000 or 10,000 times, depending entirely upon the specimen we were examining. With the results that those tissues gained us absolutely nothing. And as I say, I built other microscopes beyond this one. But that instrument we used up until 1931. With that instrument, Arthur Kendall and I, working jointly in the Pasadena General Hospital, succeeded in isolating what we classify the first filterable form of bacteria ever seen. It was isolated from the Bacillus typhosus from cultures that Dr. Kendall brought from his laboratory in Northwestern University in Chicago. And we succeeded definitely in isolating a filterable form of that bacteria. Now, these filterable forms are very minute in size. The smallest of all is the one from the BX, which we isolated from cancer. We have never made a positive claim that that is the causative agent of cancer. But that is the smallest, and it's less than 1/20th of a micron in dimension and highly motile. We succeeded in isolating this organism, this BX, using a Kendall media. It's known as Kendall media. It's made of a desiccated pig intestine, dehydrated down where it requires about 10 gallons of the original raw gut. When it's desiccated and run through the extractor and dehydrated to make about 1 pound of the original material. Now that is placed in a tube. We use about 4 grams, and then we use 10 to 20 cc's of a thyroid solution. It's a chemical series of salts. Now that is what Kendall used for the isolation or bringing out this Bacillus typhosus in the filterable state, which is published in the Californian Western Medicine in 1931, our joint report on that. Now, these organisms, again, before we go farther, They cannot be stained with the aniline or acid dye stains that's used in the ordinary technique and method of staining tissue sections or even bacteria. Now, those organisms are so minute and so delicate that they have to be stained with a frequency of light. Now, after we built our first high-powered microscope, we had to build an illuminant unit to be able to see these different types of organisms and different types of tissue also. So we had to build this particular unit. We built a unit which I have a patent on, a special lamp that will produce 2,000 candle power and a needle point of beam where it comes through the condenser. But between this source of illumination and the so-called substage condenser, we have a pair. On the universal microscope, we have four, but we use a pair of rotating wedge-shaped quartz prism. They're circular, and they're wedge-shaped. And by rotating those, we bend the beam of light. That's what we term the neutral or core beam of the illuminant unit, at different angles of incidence, so that it strikes the object under examination at different angles of refraction. There we see these particles at a different refractive index, and every one of them is entirely different. For instance, we find that the Bacillus typhosus, in its filterable state, is a beautiful turquoise blue body. We see them swimming through the field. They're highly motile. And incidentally, if the organism, the bacteria, is a motile bacteria, in most instances, the virus will be motile or highly motile, and vice versa. So we see these beautiful turquoise blue bodies swimming through the field. With that, we can differentiate absolute and positively, which we have done. We can analyze the blood of a typhoid suspect, the filtered blood serum, or the urine, as men as 10 and 15 days beyond or before the Weedall retraction will show that that patient has typhoid, which of course speeds up the diagnostic value of the work. So we place a colon bacillus under this monochromatic light, and there we have a reddish-brown organism that is highly motile also. We place the filterable form of the bacillus of tuberculosis there. We have a jade green, and so on. We place the filterable form, or the BX, that's isolated from our carcinoma, and we have a purplish-red one, and so on. We have, from the filterable form of poliomyelitis, we have a coral pink. The value of this particular method and principle is, as stated before, highly valuable in a diagnosis of the case. As we go on with this, it is so important to have a positive diagnosis that is not interfered with by some laboratory faulty technique, staining methods, and whatnot. Now, as we stated before, we'll go back to the point where we contemplated isolating an organism from malignant tissue. The thing is that I positively believed that when the causative agent was found, it would be caused to be found by a microorganism. And not unlikely, an organism that we have with us at all times that is changed by the metabolic shift of the human body itself. That we have proven. I also stated that in one stage it would be not unlikely that it would be found to be in the bloodstream. That was also proven. So as we isolate this organism, we have what we call the BX. It is a very complicated method and technique. The first material that we isolated was from an ulcerated breast mass that I received from the Paradise Valley Hospital in National City. We use and chose an unulcerated breast mass because we'd have less chance of outside contamination. I took those blocks about 4 millimeters square and I placed them in my K media. I incubated them. I had no results. I changed them at different temperatures. I had no results. I was running at that time possibly 400 transfers a day and determining the effect that the argon, neon, and krypton gas, using as a bombardment in a loop, would have upon the growth of pathogenic bacteria. We wanted to determine if it would stimulate or retard the growth. And I was running those things through, as I say, 400 and 500 transfers a day. And there was a vacant tube, a loop, that was standing. And this one tube that I had with this malignant tissue in was standing on the bench along there, and it might just as well have had a red flag on it. So I picked the thing up, and I dropped it in this argon loop. I left it for 24 hours till I was making my transfers the next day, and I looked at it. I saw that it had a cloudiness in it, which it did not have before. Well, I examined it immediately under the microscope, and I found nothing. And I chemically analyzed it, and I found out that it had been ionized by this bombardment of this 5,000 volts in this argon loop. So there's only one counteraction of ionization, that's oxidation. So I put it in a 2-inch water bath, a 2-inch vacuum, and left it in the incubator for 24 hours. And I brought it out, and it had changed again. And I immediately put it under the microscope and began rotating my prisms, and I finally found it alive and teeming with one of the smallest of any of the filterable forms we had yet seen, in a purplish-red refraction under the monochromatic light. They were less than a 20th of a micron in dimensions. Well, that didn't mean a great deal in the way that I carry on my work, because it had been standing around over a period of time, and anything might have happened to it. So we started in and run the process through again with the same identical technique, with identically the same results. We ran those through many, many times, I think 104 to be exact, and carrying a control with each one at each test. The controls always remained negative, and we always had positive results of attaining our BX. Then we begin our animal experimentation with this. We chose the female albino rat. Now, the method of inoculation which we use is a technique in itself. The animal is kept under quarantine for no less than 10 days, sometimes 12, and its blood checks are made and stool analysis and so on. We want to be absolutely sure that that animal is not susceptible or has any other type of disease. So the animal is shaved and it's kept under a partial anesthesia because the shock of the hypodermic needle sometimes has effect upon the metabolism of those small animals.